Good morning and welcome, everyone. Today is April 18th, 2017. It is 11 a.m. This is a little bit different for a weekly business session to be held on a Tuesday, but we had to do it for sake of a quorum of the board. It's kind of important for us to be able to hold a meeting. We've got to have two or more of us in a room in order to do so. We're going to start with the Pledge of Allegiance, so please rise.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Be a good opportunity if you have a cell phone to put it on silent or vibrate. We're going to go through our administrative calendar. We'll review all of those items. Before taking action, we'll take public comment, which is item number two. For those who need an agenda, I think there's some in the entryway. After we take public comment, we'll come back and take action on the administrative calendar before moving into the consent calendar and other items. So without ado, we will go through item number 1A on the administrative calendar is approval of order number 2017-019 in the matter of authorization of execution of land lease agreement with Grow Condos Incorporated, Lake Selmac Resort, for lease of county property and lease agreement. It's located on page 2 of the items that are presented in the weekly business session packet. Each of these have been reviewed at a prior meeting. Most often it's at our admin meeting that is just 6 days prior to the previous Thursday. So I'm going to speak to this one, or I can...
Either way.
I'm going to speak to this one as liaison to the Parks Department. This would normally be... It's under the jurisdiction of Sarah Wright, our Parks Director. This is for a small portion of Lake Selmac Road front on Lakeshore Drive that new owners of Lake Selmac Resort are going to be entering into a lease agreement. I believe it's for 4 or 5 years, and with increasing rates, it's really important that this is not anything new. We've been doing this for quite a long time. The curator of the Lake Selmac Resort is in charge of providing for the water sport activities, non-motorized activities right there on the lake that provides recreators an opportunity to enjoy the water. The nuance here is that it's with a organization, a new owner, that is looking to do a cannabis-friendly resort-style private kind of a camping area. It's the distinction is very clear in the lease agreement that it's against state law to partake in marijuana product on public thoroughfares or in public property, which the parks is. And so it's very clear in there to say that no users of those facilities can utilize marijuana at the same time of being on that property. What they do on their own property, private property, is their own business. And so, but it's against state law to partake in that on that county parkland. And so I think that's the nuance, that's the element. There's a 6-year period, and the total revenue over the 6 period is $5,400. I think for the first 3 years, if my memory serves me, it's $800 a year. For the last 2 years, it goes up to $1,000 a year for that, basically that access, that right-of-way of Lake Selmac. So am I missing any point? I think that kind of covers it. Any questions?
Yeah, it goes to 900 after 2 years.
Oh, does it?
Yeah. Jumps every 2 years.
Oh, okay. Great. Yep, 2/8, 2/9, and 2/1000. So that's the rate. Been negotiated and approved by the lease for. Leasee. Item number 1B is approval of Memorandum of Understanding between Josephine County and Oregon Department of Land Conservation and Development for resource zone updates. I'm the liaison, but we have Ms. Smelcher in the audience today, and I think she'd be well-versed to speak on this issue. It's a real positive thing for Josephine County to kind of pick up where some other previously established committees back in the day kind of left off.
Correct. Good morning, Commissioners. So as the chair had alluded, this is a follow-up project from the ALDAC committee that had worked on this previously, as well as some previous staff. And what it does is it's the first step in actually updating our rural land development code. So as you know, the county's going through the process of the codification to the council's
office. And then there's been discussion about actually doing updates to the code itself, and we just haven't gotten to that point, despite the recommendations in the past. What happened is the Department of Land Conservation Development came forward and said, we're willing to give you a grant for free, and we will update your exclusive farm zone, farm resource zone, forest commercial zone, woodlot resource zone, some of the definitions and some of the conditional use permit processes for you with this grant money that we have. And what the county has to do in turn is just assist with them and do their reviews. And then at some point, we will need to have a public hearing and decide if we're going to adopt the work that the consultant hired by the Department of Land Conservation Development completes for us. There's a little bit of a time crunch on this. The state has the funding available until December 31st. So the consultant that the state works with has to have the job completed by that time. They have looked everything over and they believe that they can actually have everything done to us by May 19th. And then over the course of the summer and coming fall, we'd actually want to look at adopting what they have prepared for us. Question.
You said that this is going to be completed by hopefully May 31st, 2017, and they have the funds. I just assumed that those were consistent with the legislative. It's not our fiscal year, or it is, because the biennium works. You know, the funding ends for the state usually at the end of June, kind of like us. But I didn't know if that was they had a timeline extended that their revenues or their appropriations go to the end of the calendar year.
I'm not sure on that.
Okay.
If I had to make a guess, which I'm going to, I'm guessing that their grant cycling probably ends May 31st, so they have that following month to do the record keeping on it in time
sense.
For the coming fiscal year.
I think one of the most important things is that this consultant's deliverables are really just the two elements of the code, which is the farm and forest zones, those natural resource zones properties, and finding inconsistencies within our rural land development code and how state law has progressed since we adopted those provisions of our rural land development code, and specifically under the first page, the last paragraph, it says that the project's objective and major deliverables is really focused on the non-discretionary amendments within state law. So it's not interpretations, it's not connotations, it's not the things that the state would like us to do. Most people understand that the state of Oregon is pretty restrictive in its land use laws. And so it's we are subject to those things even now, where our code is inconsistent and we don't have the discretion to be inconsistent with state law. And so this is kind of actually making it hopefully easier for applicants. I can see at least one, maybe multiple applicants in the audience today who would have really liked to have been able to look at our rural land development code and know that it was a reflection of what the state law is requiring, as opposed to going and looking at a rural land development code. And then he's got to go back and check that with the state's codes on goal 3 and 4 to make sure that our code is consistent before he can move forward, because he would be subject to those elements of state law when he goes before the Land Use Board of Appeals or whatever. So it's kind of something we should have, hopefully, wish we would have been keeping up with over the years. But obviously, we're not the only county in the state. As the state is appropriating these funds to multiple counties that are small in jurisdiction and helping them along. This doesn't make us change our code. We still have to go through the normal process of doing so. There'll be public hearings addressing their recommendation. So just trying to alleviate people's concerns with the state coming in and not necessarily guide this direction, but it's something all counties should be doing on a regular basis.
Right. Josephine County is actually in a very fortunate position right now, because when I talked to the Department of Land Conservation Development, they had indicated the future grant funds were going to be diverted to the coast. And they knew that we were eager to get going on this project. They had some funding left over, and like I said, although it's a quick timeline, they thought of us, and I'm glad to see that they're willing to give us some money.
Well, we've been in project coordination with the state for some time. Executive Order 1207, obviously 2012, was a pilot project proposed by our legislators and approved by the governor in a negotiated settlement to do a look at our code to see about ways we could improve for development opportunities in Southern Oregon. And so that was supposed to be a 1 or 2 year process, ended up being more of a 4 or 5 year process. And so we've been in partnership with them, and I think that their understanding is greater of what our shortcomings are with our code and the direction we want to go. So there's just one element. We've got a Deerwinter Range one. The LDAC committee studied 4 recommended changes. This is only probably accounting for 2 of those recommended changes. There was also a rural roads fire element is another issue of LDAC's, Deerwinter Range, and then these 2. So I think this is going to be a big, big improvement when we get the whole process done and the code codified. Anything from the board?
So your requirements in here in task 1 and task 2, it's all done by the end of this month, and you're on track for all that to meet the county's deliverables and your copies of availability and so on and so forth?
Correct. You know, it gets a little challenging because we're in the middle of a codification, so that does throw a little element in there. But it's a matter of allocating staff time to review what they submit and then get them what they need. And I'm willing to take any challenge. I think I've got a pretty good track record with that.
Thank you.
Great. Anything else?
No, I just want to reiterate this as it's no cost to the county to do this. It's just, I mean, it's a time of cooperation and collaboration, but there's no cost for the county to upgrade these.
That is correct. Eventually, though, Commissioner, eventually we'll want to have a public hearing and there'll be notice requirements and other things involved. But as far as actually having the consultant come in and do this initial work, there is no cost for the county other than my staff time.
Thank you very much. Item number 1C is approval of contract between Josephine County and Moss Adams, LLP, Certified Public Accountants for Auditing Services. Moss Adams was the bidder that responded to an RFP that our accounting office put out, our finance office put out. I think it was at the early part of this year or the late part of last year. We have had Eisler and Associates as our auditor for quite some time, and we did put out an RFP, I believe, 2 years ago for a new auditor. The firm that responded and was selected had some challenges that year, maybe overextended themselves and did not perform to the standard that the county would like to see. We have it in our habit to try to rotate accounting firms. This is a 3-year contract. You'll see with the opportunity to renew that for another 3 years. So that's a trial period opportunity for this accountant to an auditor to go through that exercise. We perform a comprehensive audit of all of our financial activity every year as required by the state. And for the last, I think, 6 years, we've been receiving awards for our financial reporting. This is an audit and accounting firm that is widely known throughout the state of Oregon and used by a number of different counties. There were 3 referenced in their proposal, and I contacted all 3 counties who had positive things to say about the services that they've received from Moss Adams. And so I would recommend and endorse the idea of approving them for this contract for 3 years to do the accounting audit for Josephine County. I think we're going to be well served by them. Eisler and Associates has done an excellent job. We've developed a relationship. They understand where we were looking and had where we were going with our financial vision, and take this opportunity to reiterate that we have improved our bond rating twice and had a negative fiscal outlook removed within the last 6 years. And those are in small part and in part by the direction that our auditor has provided us as far as general accounting. Sound is really funny. General accounting principles, general accepted accounting principles, and other things that we have taken as suggestions and we've implemented. So it's been a real positive relationship with our previous one, and I hope that continues with our hopefully newly selected auditing firm. Any comments?
Now, just looking at the scoring of Moss Adams and Talbot, Corvola, and Warwick, those are 2 firms I'm familiar with that have good reputations in the industry, and I you know, I think it makes sense. It's just a matter of, I'm not familiar with the other group, so.
Okay. Item number 1D is approval of courthouse improvement IGA with Oregon Judicial Department, number 160056. And Councilor Hicks, do you want to speak on this one? You've been running point on it.
Yes.
Which is why it's taken, I'm just kidding.
Okay.
I'm not going to give you blame for why it's taken so long. We've been working on this for over a year just to get to this point of working out an IGA. But I do want to thank Councilor Hicks for leaning into this really heavily and maybe learning more about this process with the Department of Administrative Services at the state, Oregon Judicial Department, all of those things more than you ever wanted to.
I did, yes. They definitely have my sympathies in terms of bureaucratic red tape. But we did navigate it and get a good arrangement on both sides. I'll provide a little bit of background of what's got us to this point and then welcome any questions. So several years ago, I want to say about going on 4 to 5 years ago, the Oregon Judicial Department, which is of course the judicial branch of the state government, transferred to almost entirely the electronic system in the Supreme Court. And what that requires is that the judge is literally in the computer while the proceeding is going on. And as that occurred, one of the considerations that didn't get addressed then and is still kind of lingering, and that's what this IGA is intended to address, is that the benches, the physical benches, had not been originally designed to accommodate eCourt and the technology and the screens and what have you that need to get installed. And so that does require a rather extensive and elaborate renovation. And so the courts approached the county well over a year ago and asked for the county's assistance and cooperation in that. And through a series of negotiations, the county did agree to assist. And the original kind of arrangement had the county selecting the contractor, or actually not even doing that, had the county selecting the design contractor, lining up the design, and then turning over the design to the courts so they could actually implement the renovation job. And that turned out to be unacceptable for various reasons that I won't get bogged down in at the moment, to the powers that be, we'll call it open sailing. And so a series of back and forths led to the current version of the intergovernmental agreement, which is being presented to you today. And that agreement, in essence, states that the Oregon Judicial Department will provide to the county $100,000, all of which will be spent on the renovation of the benches in the 4 courtrooms. And that does include the, oh, the 5 courtrooms, sorry, the four upstairs, the courthouse, and the family courtroom. So there's 5 courtrooms. And that is going to be, so the $100,000 will be transferred to the county. And it is the county's responsibility. This has all been kind of lined up for our bond department. The county will then contract for the renovation project. And the estimate on that we've received so far from the contractor, it's not, really easy at the moment to get a qualified contractor due to the improving economy. So it's kind of a symptom of an upswing, economic upswing. But nevertheless, the contractor that we managed to not signed with, but engaged at this point, is projecting that it's going to come in, right at, basically, we'll say the $100,000, within several thousand dollars, but looking at either just under or perhaps just over, depending on the way it's calculated. And,
we lost his mic.
I know.
Okay. So,
I'm sure they're working on it.
From,
it's been going back and forth. Continue.
So it is entirely possible that one should be aware of that going into this project, that all 5 courtrooms will not be covered by the $100,000 that OJB is providing. OJB comprehends that. They're going to look at their budget to boost its funding for this project going forward, if that turns out to be the case. Another principal consideration was whether change orders were going to be accommodated within OJB is provided to the county, and so that's something that the initial estimate potentially has come in under the $100,000, but like I said, with varied wages, may not even have gone that low. We do need to have built some cushion in there, and bond is taking that into account just in case change orders would come in
BOM stands for Building Operations and Maintenance. In this respect, we would regard them as facilities, so they're the people who maintain our buildings, manage that. Mr. Johnson is in charge.
Yes.
He'll be managing this and hopefully capturing his administrative overhead. This is a prevailing wage contract that makes it more expensive. And so any contract over $50,000 to a single contractor crosses that threshold for prevailing wage, Diggins Bacon elements. And there are a couple other points. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Let's see. Warranties. So it's a courthouse is a county building. And thus, these matters are going to be responsible. The county is going to take on responsibility for correcting the defects through warranty rights that may occur after the project has been formally completed. And so the county will then actually be responsible for making ongoing maintenance, repairs, and performance within the project, even after the formal completion date of the project. I think those are the high points. Okay.
Great.
So,
that's the nexus. Commissioner DeYoung.
I think you stated that the county was going to take on any warranties for. Is there any contractor warranty? I mean, you're paying prevailing wage to a contractor. Is building and we don't have a bomb department. We have a building operation and maintenance department. Just for folks out there, I don't think we have a bomb squad on staff. Anyway, is it our building maintenance is going to do the work?
No.
No.
We will hire a contractor, and those warranty elements will be explicitly outlined in the contract. So,
for the contract.
Yeah,
okay.
The nice thing about it is the fact that we're going to inherit this infrastructure, as it's part of the courthouse, as Councilor Hicks has stated, and Ryan, Mr. Johnson, will be overseeing the project on behalf of the county. So he knows these contractors, anyone who's going to respond. He's worked with the ones that, and we select the contractor, so we're going to be running point on making sure that warranty is not necessary. We'll cover everything.
Yeah.
One of the reasons why this looks, $100,000 to redo benches, really? That sounds really expensive, but there's some historic elements and a couple of our courtrooms having to do with the marble and some other. There's also the potential for change orders. These are personal spaces for each of these judges who use them on a daily basis. And so as much as we tried to get the engineering and the preliminary work done to the satisfaction of everybody included, it certainly could change over time. The state understands that any of those change orders that add costs will have to come out of the top, the 100,000. So we may or may not get to all five courtrooms. It's going to pursue courtroom by courtroom. At what point the $100,000 runs out is when the project stops. Initially, the county was going to be responsible for any overages, and that is not acceptable to us, and we don't have the resources to backfill this state's project on this deal. So I think it's going to go forward. We're going to get it done ASAP, putting out for the appropriate contractor and work with the state courts and all of that on this project. And it's not our first time. It won't be our last time working on a project like this. It's just one of the benefits of the unintended consequences of housing state courts in a county facility. So relationship goes back decades, if not longer. So, any questions? Thank you very much.
I just want to make sure that we clarify. The county will not be paying any county funds towards this project. And if they run out, it just stops. We're not making up the difference.
Right. That's what the IGA stance states.
It does now.
And the contract with the contractor will say the same thing. That'll be the next step. Okay, we'll move on to item number two, which is requests and comments from citizens. Please just provide your name and general address of locale. 3 minutes, and Ms. Casanelli. Good morning.
Good morning. Andy Casanelli, today, I primarily would like to talk about item 1A. There's some very interesting backstory with a lot of this, and it seems like the county is flip-flopping all the time on this marijuana issue. I do know that several years ago, the State Ethics Commission deemed that Commissioner Hare was using his office in order to benefit his commercial licenses. And now the BCC is spending tens of thousands of dollars on new software so people can complain online and track their complaints. We were told that this is because there are so many complaints about marijuana. Then the BCC put an advisory question on the ballot regarding banning commercial pot growing on small rural residential zones. And today, we have this item, 1A, where the county has decided that it is going to support Grow Condo Inc., a company that advocates marijuana use, their smoke on the water project is basically, you know, people come to Lake Selmac, they get high, they rent boats and recreate on the lake, and probably buy their pots so that they can go home happy. You know, there's a lot of liability with people being high and having motorized boats on the lake. This is a huge liability for the county. And, you know, it just really floors me that the county would even consider giving such a lucrative contract to this company. It's $75 a month. That's nothing. $75 a month so that they can have people smoke and recreate on Lake Selmac. You know, this is duplicitous. It sends a bad message. Here the sheriff is asking for money, you know, to clean up the drugs in the Illinois Valley. And here we have the Board of Commissioners promoting pot to a company. Sure, a private company, what they do on their property is their business, but you, the county, the commissioners, are going into partnership with them in order to provide this service. It's not a good idea.
Ms. Ahrens?
Judy Ahrens, resident of Josephine County. I just want to deal with Sammy saying a little bit more to strongly suggest you vote no right now. Put it on hold, table it, whatever you want to do as far as there's no emergency on it to vote no and disapprove it for this meeting, number 1A. And the reason I say that, it's, you know, Tuesday, it's not your Wednesday meeting, a whole bunch of things we're having on a off meeting day, a few people here, thank goodness. But I too am concerned about, first of all, normally I like to see private resort areas. But in this case, as Sandy has done her work diligently again, and I hope you really understand how diligently she's done her work on this Grow Condo Inc. We're sending two messages to Josephine County. We love family values, we promote family values, but at the same time, we really don't promote family values. And when you have healthy families who want to go over out to Lake Selmac and go camping and stuff, now there's a segment where they're going to have, I understand, correct me if I'm wrong, from what my resources are pretty good here in the room, dispensers, and they have dispensers, there's going to be smoking pop, the crime is going to go up, and as she said, then we'll really have a need for more safety patrol, etc. So what are we really promoting again? I'm thinking, if we want to promote family values, let's do. And if you promise, you know, you're going to say it when you took your oath that we're going to promote good things in our county, fine. But let me tell you what I'm going to promise too. If you pass that today, I'm not threatening you. I'm just telling you where my energy level is. I think this is such a non-family situation that you're promoting that you will have to own. And if you do, then I'll make sure organizations in town, I'll check with the Chamber of Commerce, I'll get organizations where I can share it, or even you folks show up as a friendly, and people are going to want to know why you passed that. Because I'm going to a meeting even this Thursday, and I'm going to share this very item that you're doing. If you think it's a community, family-oriented, you're dead wrong. If this is getting to the point where people want to come home, come over here, it's because the decisions you have folks to make. So if you want to go ahead and promote it and agree to it, and it's going to bring in $75 a month, this is pathetic. But if you want to do that, then what I'm going to do religiously is to let everybody in town and the owners and people downtown and family organizations and churches. I have a very busy schedule too. On my own time, on my own dime, volunteering, and I will let people know what you're doing here. And I'll start with the big churches because they have all these things that they promote for family and community reasons. Thank you.
Anyone else? Yes, Mr. Kitcher? Or Mr. Ford?
Go ahead.
I mumble.
No,
you're both going to get an opportunity.
Yes.
And he already stood up, so that's a big part of it.
Larry Ford, 136 Perry Road, and it's passed. Good morning. Good afternoon, actually, Commissioners. You've got two items today on the one on the consent and one on the agenda calendar, dealing with streamlining our ability to build on private property. And I think that it should have been done a long time ago, and I'm glad to see it done now. As someone who went through that process 7 years ago or so, I can tell you the frustration is unbelievably high. I mean, it I was trying to build on property my family has owned since the 1860s. It took me a year, and that's just totally ridiculous. So anything that you're doing, I think you're working in the right direction with these two agendas to streamline that ability to build. It's got to be a positive influence on our community.
Mr. Kitcher.
Tom Kitcher, P.O. Box 1371, Clay Junction. I actually have two separate comments. One is, as an individual citizen, I'm just hearing about this Lake Selmac thing. It's kind of disturbing to be promoting smoking pot do they allow drinking on the lake?
Nope.
If not, I wouldn't think smoking marijuana on the lake is really a smart idea. I look at what's happened to the Illinois River down out of Selma, down below Store Flats, after they kicked all the miners out of that area. It's just, in the summer, it's a hotbed of all sorts of undesirable activity. Just reading the police blotter can show that it's a constant problem. And transferring some of that over to Lake Selma probably is not the best idea in the world. If they want to do it on their private property, that's something else again. My main comment today is, as president of the Waldo Mining District, I want to inform this board that April of this year is Waldo's 165th birthday.
Congratulations.
Yes, we were here long before, Oregon was still a territory. We were the first government body in Southern Oregon, and we're still here, as I know Simon knows, and I haven't spoken with Dan DeYoung yet. Lily is somewhat in, knows about this also. We're currently mining, especially the small-scale type mining, which Josephine County enjoys probably the most than any other county in the state of Oregon. We have the most minerals available than any other county. Even though we're small in size, we have an abundance of minerals. Mining built this county. It's being destroyed by factions outside of the county, either the environmental community and lately the Oregon legislature, who is currently working on more bills to further destroy our mining industry here that once thrived and now is basically whittled down to what most people call recreational. I don't know if this board can come up with some kind of formal honor for miners in Oregon or in Josephine County. I'd love to see a sign on the freeway below the we welcome our honor veterans. I'd love to see we honor miners. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Yes. Good morning.
Good morning. Walt Slater, 1115 Southeast Allen Loop, Grants Pass. Since I'm Grants Pass, I didn't necessarily come to say anything except after hearing some of the comments, particularly on 1A, it sounds like the suggestion was made that you're actually encouraging or promoting the use of cannabis in that area. And I'm not sure, because I'm not seeing the lease, what the lease is really doing with respect to Conduit Road. If they didn't get the lease, does that completely stop their operation? I mean, I have no idea. I'm just seeking a little clarification, if you will.
Happy to talk about it when you bring stuff back to the board, so thank you, Mr. Steele. Anyone else for 3 minutes? For any other topic. I'll bring it back to the board for discussion on that. I think if I can take a stab at some of the biggest concerns that have been talked about here today, I think item 1A is the one that was mentioned the most, and that's a lease agreement for 6 years with a new owner of the Lake Selmac Resort. And I apologize if I was not clear in my original explanation of what this lease agreement does. It provides for lakefront access to the recreational vendor component that's located at the lake. And so that the resort owns that recreational facility. It was sold with the new owner. They have a connotation towards allowing cannabis to be enjoyed on their private property. That is totally legal by state law. We're not endorsing that. We're not saying that it's right or that it's wrong. We take an agnostic position on that. Where we don't take a standoff position is the enjoyment of those either recreational or medical elements on county property. That is against state law, has been against state law, will continue to be against state law, and against county park rules. The park rules are delineated in the lease contract agreement. It's no different than cannabis being enjoyed on any of our parks currently. It is prohibited by law. So is alcohol. We do not allow that as well. It isn't changing anything moving forward for anybody who's ever enjoyed any time out at Lake Selmac. Cannabis has been enjoyed at all of our parks, probably for decades, not legally, but it is not endorsed on this 800-foot stretch or something like that, 400-foot stretch of Lake Selmac's lake that is all owned by the county. It's just for this one proprietor to be able to have access over our property onto the lake to do their non-motorized. So if people pay attention to the words I use, it'd be really a lot clearer. There are no motorized motors allowed on Lake Selmac, only small bass trolling motors, as I understand. But otherwise, no speed boats or anything. All of the recreational elements that this vendor provides are non-motorized, and so that's why it's $75 a month to cross our property, 400 feet of Lake Selmac, and access and provide these vendors. The vendor understands this is in the lease agreement. There are three separate provisions for terminating this lease. There's an immediate and an emergency clause. There's a 7-day written notice, or there's a mutually agreed upon 30-day notice. And so we have it well within our discretion. If there's any point of abuse by the vendor, we can terminate this contract and thus terminating their ability to provide recreational opportunities. That doesn't mean you can't bring your own. You can bring your own and you can, you know, partake of stuff. It's not legal, but we'll have the same authority and jurisdiction to restrict that, not just on this 400-foot stretch of land, but the entire lake premises. And so it's been crafted pretty specifically, and the lessee knows that. And that's all been negotiated by Ms. Wright, our legal office, and the new owner. And so we're not endorsing this, and I'm sorry if that wasn't clear when I gave the description of this. I can see how it can be construed, but also at the same time, for those who understand the Constitution, when we talk about where our discretion lies with whether or not we like what somebody's doing or we don't like what somebody's doing, their opportunity to take us to court is just as equal if we say we just didn't like what you were doing and we didn't want to lease to you because of that reason. That doesn't work, and there's liability associated with that side of the coin as well. I hope that that's clear. There were a lot of missed points that really could have been clarified had some of our earlier speakers taken the time to read the lease agreement. This is an increase in revenue. This is only going to the Parks Department. from the historic lease agreement that's been with the Selmac Resort for my entire life. Since I've been a kid, they've always been operating this paddle boats and other things, canoes out there. And this is just a new nuance with the way the state is going with the approval of Measure 91 and Senate Bill or House Bill 3400. Josephine County didn't support Measure 91, but it only failed by 2 votes. We didn't have the 5% margin to entertain that. What we're doing with rural residential is an extension of what this board and our code enforcement office is hearing from the conflict of people providing for recreational grows. They are separate issues, but they're all under Measure 91. So I could probably go on, but I don't want to belabor the subject if the clarification has been made on that. Anyone else?
I certainly see where I think the wrong message is being sent. Spoke on the Water is very specific in what they plan to do. And leasing the front lake frontage, does that include the water? Because their advertisement is smoke on the water. Does that mean when they go out in the lake on the boats, they're allowed to smoke on the lake?
All 340 acres of Lake Selmac property that is owned by the county is prohibited. You cannot enjoy cannabis in any form.
Alcohol, no marijuana on Lake Selmac. This doesn't change that.
But when this company advertises smoke on the water.
It's a good song.
Huh?
It's a song from the 70s.
And we don't have authority to regulate how they choose to advertise. We really don't. I mean,
my next question is enforcement. The next question I have is enforcement.
That comes
up. Are we going to be able to enforce that when that happens? If it happens, because we're assuming.
That's where our lease cancellation comes into place. If they violate by allowing stuff to happen,
let's play this out like a chess game. Okay, so they lose their lease agreement. They just have a shuttle service that runs from boats to the boat ramp, which is public access. You buy your day use permit or your annual permit, you can use that. And so there's really no difference. The only thing this is doing is a convenience element of providing them boats in the water right across from the resort, how it's been operated for, like I said, decades. And that's all this is. This is revenue to the
park. The only thing they're leasing is that strip of land between the road and the water.
Yep.
They're not, but.
So on the fish derby day, when the people are out there catching their trout with their kids, there's no marijuana allowed on the lake. On any other day of the year, there's no marijuana allowed on the lake. Does that mean that marijuana goes on the lake? Already does, but not necessarily because it's been by permission. It's not by permission. You're not allowed to consume marijuana publicly.
I remember when Lake Selmac was put in years and years ago, I was a little bitty kid, and it was going to be a fishing lake so little kids could go out there and learn how to fish, paddle out there with Dad and Grandpa. Grandpa had a couple of beers, Dad had a couple of beers, probably illegal at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's a, for now, maybe 5 years from now or 10 years from now, it'd be perfectly acceptable. But for right now, and you know, I'm old, I would rather preserve that lake so the little kid can go out there smoke-free, alcohol-free, and learn how to fish with Grandpa. But I guess if we're just talking about the lease of the piece of land, we're not leasing the whole park. We're not leasing, they own the resort now, which is private property, correct? So we don't have any contractual thing with them. It's just that strip of ground for $75. I guess, you know, maybe public opinion is going to take over, and I don't know which way that would go in Selma and Cave Junction.
Not the way it used to be, but I bet you it's going in a different direction than when I grew up out there.
Yes.
And not doing this lease does nothing. It doesn't stop them from accessing the lake.
Right.
It doesn't stop
marijuana. That's what I want to clarify, that the county is not, I think that the message all the way around is not good. And I can see the association between Josephine County allowing smoke on the water and promoting smoke on the water and so on and so forth. That's an enforcement issue that I think needs to happen after the deal. But as far as leasing that strip of ground, I'm not opposed to that. But I am opposed to anything that would happen after that which would threaten the lease. It's something we should surely keep an eye on. And enforcement, to me, is going to be a real issue out there. But I just don't even like, you know, is there any place that is sacred? Is there any place that is actually smoke-free, alcohol-free, drug-free, prostitution-free, or whatever-free? Is there any place at all that's going to be sanctuary? I mean, we talk about sanctuary cities all over America. Is there any place that's going to be smoke-free from the cannabis industry where little kids can still go?
No.
Daycare?
Society is not inclined to enforce that element.
But yeah.
They don't. They don't want that.
I just want to clarify that this thing only, this lease is only for, what do you say, 75 by 400?
I think it's about 400 strip. I'm not sure how large it is, but it's about, it's an extension of the lakeshore where they need access to the. Now, I don't disagree with you, and I think it's a broader conversation that the impact of this lease is just an extension of where society is going. I don't know that I understand exactly what their intent is, or society as a whole, or Josephine County. And that's one of the reasons we're asking that non-binding question, to resolve that issue of conflict. And maybe there's other issues of conflict. But our rules are the rules they are. Whether or not we have the ability to enforce them is like any other thing, traffic or what have you. I think Commissioner Morgan, on the way in, noticed somebody smoking right outside the Ambassador. This isn't in a recreational area of Lake Salmac that maybe is it's not even being promoted. Nobody's selling, coming to the courthouse or between the Ambassador and us, but people are doing it. They're promoting this element as a recreational opportunity for people to enjoy this legal thing to do on private property. And there is nothing that the county can do to stop that. So I don't want this debate of this 400 foot. That's not the point that you draw the line in the sand. The line is 2 years ago. And, you know, a county saying, we don't know. You know, we're on the bubble. 17,313 for, 17,000 against, 17,311 people for. The county doesn't have a definitive decision on Measure 91 style issues. They do want to tax it, 3% passed, and we'll see how this recreational question goes, but every other measure on marijuana has failed in Josephine County in history. But we don't have the latitude to change this dramatically the way I think some people in our community are starting to say. There's some negative consequences and the revenues from this. What did we just hear? Don't spend it all in one place. It's a whole
$9,000 for 5 months
from
our 3% tax.
Let's build a new school. No, my concern is, and this goes back to my childhood, because the Beach Boys were one of my favorite bands, and guess what? Dennis Wilson, the drummer for the Beach Boys, fell off of a boat, stoned, and drowned. And we're going to have smoke on the water, advertise it, stoned on the water, fall out of one of the rental boats and drown. Where does the responsibility lie? That's my concern. Not to us, I guess?
Private industry rents the boat, not us. The county is not involved at all.
Do they have any
insurance? We don't discuss liability in public. So
I guess, okay.
That's a good question. We've previously addressed these elements, and I mean, anything you say is not going to exactly be terribly clarifying.
It's not. So. Say I discuss it with the risk manager. We can do more research if the board is inclined.
I think we've heard that you're in favor, I'm in favor of moving forward with this. I understand the liability, and it doesn't change from yesterday. Whoever was operating it before, with Measure 91 and the county having it legal, it's illegal on public property. It doesn't matter who's the vendor. That law transcends whoever it is. So from my perspective,
it doesn't
change.
I just want, for clarity, I want everybody to understand that this is the piece of ground that we are leasing. That's the only thing that this lease, it does not give the guy. We're not endorsing his operation. We're not endorsing smoke on the water. That's a separate issue if we lease that piece of ground. By not leasing that piece of ground, does it stop what he's doing on smoke on the water? I don't think it does it?
No. No, he owns the property. He's doing it. He's developing. He's
and it's private property.
Got advertising. I mean, this is not his only location he's doing it. We understand that the owner's doing this across the state. I'm not advocating for this. Mine is, I know that there's people who believe otherwise. I'm objective in this. I go based on the law. And so it, you can disagree, but it's coming. You know, as Oregonians, we should have addressed this years ago. So it's here. This is just the beginning, people. And if you think this is bad, it's going to continue to proliferate our community. And the opportunity to push back, that sailed with Measure 91 passing, people. Started an initiative, Citizens Initiative. I've heard people talking about, you know, ideas of regulating in a way. Still got to be compliant with House Bill 3400 and Measure 91, all those other things. Good luck navigating that. I don't want to belabor the subject, so I think that's a discussion for another day. The item on the agenda here is just a lease agreement with a curator. So I do appreciate Mr. Kitcher coming forward. The board did endorse the signing of a letter in opposition to Senate Bill 3 last week. We're having trouble finding out who we should initiate that letter to, and if you could provide clarification on, is it the Senate, is it the House, is it the entire legislature? I know it passed the Senate 21-8 or 9 2 weeks ago or last week, and not a very close vote, but we are optimistic that there's an opportunity to put a stop to that in the House Natural Resources Committee, and so we're definitely leaning into that issue. Those are the issues that I thought were necessary to comment. Anything else from you guys?
So I just want to reiterate, the county's portion of this agreement is that we put in our contract, no marijuana, no alcohol, period.
Right.
So that's our protection as far as, or our rules for the contract, no marijuana, no alcohol, period. There was a statement that the BCC has created an online complaint process. I'm not aware of that. If there is a complaint process in one of the departments, but the BCC having an online complaint process, other than maybe somebody sending an email, I'm not familiar with what that would be. I find it interesting that $75 a month is considered pittance when $12 a month could pay for a jail. Just saying. Off meeting day. We were able to get all three commissioners here today, and we weren't able to get all three commissioners here tomorrow. So we advertised that the meeting would be today, and we have more people sitting in the audience than we did last week. So whether it's an off meeting day or not, we have more people here. We noticed it, like we're required to have a meeting.
The charter just requires a meeting of the board of commissioners once a week. If there's a quorum, there's a quorum today. There may not be a quorum tomorrow. So we hosted it today.
And as far as an oath of office, it was not in my oath of office to promote good things in the county. My oath of office was to defend the Constitution of the United States and Oregon and to enforce the laws thereof. Unfortunately, this is a topic that is legal in Oregon and is not in the federal government, and we operate off of the Cole letter, which basically the federal government said you're authorized to do this so long as marijuana stays in Oregon. So as far as our legal requirements...
And is well regulated.
So that's kind of where we're at. It is what it is. But as far as electronic filing, I'm going to support that to no end, that we need to provide an easier way for building and planning permits to be processed and to allow less barriers for a process to go. And I want to formally, on behalf of me, I can't speak for them because we're not voting on it, congratulations to the Waldo Mining District on 165th anniversary. That is a big deal to exist before the state of Oregon and to still be in operation in a tiny community, but it's still pretty incredible. I personally have learned a lot from Mr. Kitcher. I know there's more to learn, but that would require a lot of time, as much knowledge as he has. But it is one of those things that everything from the pen I'm holding to the glass in this is based on minerals, is based on mining, and our natural resources, everything that we have, that we operate on, this desk is natural resources, and there's a way to utilize those natural resources in a healthy way that doesn't destroy the environment, and I I appreciate the efforts that Waldo Mining District has done in trying to show how they're environmentally conscious and aware of things, and so I just want to acknowledge you in that. So,
Commissioner Dion?
I have a question on C1, which is the no alcohol, no marijuana clause in the contract on Lake Selmac. Is the store, which is on private property,
mm-hmm.
is that considered on park premises?
No.
Okay.
No, it's that, just the stretch of land.
Then that portion of it is very, very clear.
Okay. With nothing further, I'd like to go through the administrative calendar and take action on item number 1A, which is approval of order number 2017-019 in the matter of authorization of execution of a land lease agreement with Grow Condos Incorporated, Lake Selmac Resort, for lease of county property and lease agreement.
I'll move that we adopt order 2017-019.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, please call the roll.
Commissioner DeYoung?
Yes.
Commissioner Morgan?
Yes.
Commissioner Hare?
Yes. Motion carries 3-0. Item number 1B is approval of Memorandum of Understanding between Josephine County and Oregon Department of Land Conservation and Development for resource zone updates.
I've made the motion that we adopt 1B, the approval of Memorandum of Understanding between Josephine County and Oregon Department of Land Conservation resource zone updates.
If you can say it.
If I'm
just kidding. Second.
Oh, I started into it. I didn't think it was going to be that long.
Been moved and seconded. For ease of the board members, you can always just say 1B or what have you, or the order number. I will always read the agenda item that we're supposed to work on. The chair should do that, a good chair. Any further discussion?
No.
Previous board chairs have not done that, and it's a responsibility of the chair to lead the board through actions. Please call the roll.
Commissioner DeYoung?
Yes.
Commissioner Morgan?
Yes.
Commissioner Hare?
Yes. Motion carries 3-0. Item number 1C is approval of contract between Josephine County and Moss Adams LLP, Certified Public Accountants, for auditing services.
I'm going to move that we adopt the contract for Moss Adams.
Great.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Great. Please call the roll.
Commissioner DeYoung?
Yes.
Commissioner Morgan?
Yes.
Commissioner Hare?
Yes. Motion carries 3-0. Item number 1D is approval of Courthouse Improvement IGA with Oregon Judicial Department number 160056.
Make a motion we approve 1D.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion?
Hopefully they keep it under.
I agree. Or take a pitch in when it's necessary. For clarification, administrative calendar items are new contracts. They're non-budgeted items or change in policy. And so that's why the administrative calendar, potentially debatable items. Please call the roll.
Commissioner DeYoung?
Yes.
Commissioner Morgan?
Yes.
Commissioner Hare?
Yes. Motion carries 3-0. Item number 3 of the consent calendar, 3A, is various minutes of the Board of Commissioners. Item 3B is Resolution 2017-023 in the matter of participation in assessment and taxation grant. And I believe we have Chris from our assessor's office, who's our deputy, to explain this. Not a complicated thing, nor a change. We've participated in this for some years, and so, but good to have him here for an explanation. So,
Good morning, Commissioners. Chris Parton from the assessor's office. So this CAFA grant, CAFA stands for County Assessment Function Funding Assistance. It started in 1989, passed by the Oregon Legislature. And what this does is it takes monies collected from the counties from delinquent interest and from reporting fees, and it's paid into a statewide fund that the county's assessment taxation offices there. Afterwards, receive quarterly payments that's from the CAFA grant. So, part of that process is for the assessor's offices to report to the state their functions, their staffing, issues they may or may not have. And as long as they're in compliance, they will receive these quarterly payments. This is a long standing annual function, and I'm just here to request your approval.
Great. Thank you.
Any questions?
Thank you very much. Item number 3C is Local Agency Agreement 31804 between Josephine County and Oregon Department of Transportation for Josephine Signs and Delineation Upgrades. Commissioner DeYoung is liaison to Public Works.
Yeah, what this is that usually we get a considerable amount of money, not a considerable amount, but a pretty good sized chunk of money. This one here is with ODOT. It's a just an agreement between ODOT. Basically what it does is this will exchange state funds for federal funds for the upgrade on county road signs and delineation markers on the above mentioned roads. And I'll go through those in just a moment. Program will not cost the county anything. ODOT local agency agreement locally delivers state funded project program, Josephine County signs and delineation upgrades. Agreement number 31804 for the following roads: in Pinecrest, Monument Drive, Azalea Drive, Placer Road, Foothill Boulevard, Granite Hill Road, Water Gap Road, Galice Road, Deer Creek Road, and this is through the Highway Safety Improvement Plan, or HSIP. So what that amounts to is it amounts to approximately $605,000 as pass-through funds that will come through to Public Works. And what basically they're going to be able to do is have a little bit more latitude in funding, in signs and stuff for some of the dangerous areas. We still have to abide by ODOT's rules as far as traffic speed into corners and things of that sort, but it does help out with chevrons and slowing down and stuff like that. So basically, we'll be able to get a lot more done because it took the federal side out of it, brought it into the state, which had transferred that to us locally. So it's a good deal.
Great. Any questions? Item number 3D is contract for personal services between Josephine County and Palladian Data Systems Corporation for online permitting software. I think it was talked about at a previous meeting when we allocated economic development funds. Ms. Schmelzer is the director of that program and is outside explaining some nuance, I'm sure, to a constituent, so she's not available to go over this. I think this is how we were talking about the opportunity for citizens to file online complaints. This permitting software allows for that kind of interaction as well. It doesn't change any of the requirements for written complaints that are required for certain kinds of complaints to be processed within the code enforcement division of community development. So it provides for an ease of exchange and clarification. There's a lot of people who do complain from time to time that doesn't result in anything, any kind of an action from that department. It just probably provides clarification for the people who are complaining about one thing or another. There are situations that do require the code enforcement officer to go visit certain potential violators and get them into compliance. And that's just that's the way the system works. So just providing it for ease online is not really that much different than people having to get off their couch, get in their car, or make a phone call or come down to the planning community development office. And so that contract is in the packet and is up for approval. Item number 3E is contract for personal services between Josephine County and Technical Imaging Systems Incorporated for document scanning. This was also something previously talked about in allocating economic development dollars. A big problem or challenge when a applicant comes into the community development department for one thing or another, there are, what I've been told, is 8 different locations of potential files for any one tax ID. And that can be really cumbersome when trying to apply for something. It can elongate the application process and make it really challenging to navigate both for the applicant and the staff. A lot of counties have gone to electronic filing. We are doing that in a vast number of areas in the county, either through the assessor's office, the board's office, and others. Planning has done that, and we're just going to continue. What this would do is take everything that is relevant to potential applications in the future regarding properties and have all of that electronically available in one location through one software purpose. And so this is a phased program. This is, phases 1 through 3 of more than 5 or 6 different phases. And it'll go a long way to making it efficient for the applicant in the office. Anything on these items?
I just think it's very important that we have these means of helping get the information quicker. So
long overdue. So So I'd entertain a motion on the consent calendar, items 3A through E.
Move we adopt the consent calendar, items 3A through E.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none, please call the roll.
Commissioner DeYoung?
Yes.
Commissioner Morgan?
Yes.
Commissioner Hare?
Yes. Motion carries 3-0. Any other items that should properly come before the board at this time for action? I have one. It was tabled last week. It's resolution 2017-020 in the matter of an appointment to the Josephine County Housing and Community Development Council. There was some concern on behalf of the board. We had a two-member quorum last week for the appointment to this position. It's an at-large position for a four-year term expiring 4/12/21. This position has been recommended to be filled by this applicant, Mr. Keith Heck, by the Housing and Community Development Council. I think that there were some concerns by Commissioner Morgan and myself about this appointment. I don't know if they've never necessarily been satisfied. However, I am not going to have an objection in making this appointment. So
I won't either.
Okay.
So I make a motion that we approve the appointment.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve resolution number 2017-020. Any discussion? Hearing none, please call the roll.
Commissioner DeYoung?
Yes.
Commissioner Morgan?
Yes.
Commissioner Hare?
Yes. Motion carries 3-0. Any other matters from commissioners?
I wanted to give an update from the 911 agency. A couple things that are coming to play in our community that's important to know. There's two electronic programs. One is called Pulse Point. A Pulse Point is something that you can register for if you've had your CPR, first aid CPR training, AED training. And essentially, it's in coordination with our 911 center that if a cardiac emergency comes in and somebody who's registered with Pulse Point is in the near vicinity, their phone alerts them, hey, you got somebody nearby you that's having a cardiac event. It also shows you any defibrillators that are in public places. And so if you needed to grab a defibrillator and go to that person to assist with the emergency, Jackson County has already rolled this out. They have had a few incidences where they have had, I want to say the number was four instances where they had 22 people respond. It was so overwhelmingly that people actually responded to say, I'm going to help in this cardiac event. The idea is the sooner that CPR can be in progress, the sooner a defibrillator can be in there, the life can be saved. And Josephine County had, there was a price involved. And thanks to Asante and the Pulse Point program, they're covering the cost of that to interface with the 911 system. So Asante has enabled that to happen. So Pulse Point will be going into play in our community soon. And May 3rd is the go-live date for text to 911. So if somebody needs to get a hold of 911 and they text 911, that is going to happen in Josephine County as of May 3rd. There will be... I guess at some point an official announcement of that, but technology increasing as it is, it's kind of interesting that we would get to that point. So I just wanted to kind of put that out there, that two smartphone applications that potentially could help save somebody's life, our 911 agency is incorporating.
Commissioner Dion. Anything else, Commissioner Morgan?
No, I can wait.
Great. This afternoon at 4 to 5:30, Congressman DeFazio, representing Federal District 4, it's all of Josephine County minus the 10 precincts of the city of Grants Pass proper, which is Congressman Walden's district, District 2, will be at the Grants Pass Performing Arts Center. So again, at 4 to 5:30 this afternoon, and so you're encouraged to make your voice heard if you have some issue to come before the congressman. Earlier this morning, we discussed the cannabis issue. I've said since the inception of this, it's been around for a while, it's an emotionally charged issue. I think my frustration, and obviously the frustration of the community, is that we're looked upon, the Board of Commissioners, with having, in a lot of people's minds, this much latitude and responsibility and authority, when in reality, we have this much latitude, responsibility, and authority on this issue. We have virtually none, and we have exercised almost every opportunity to do what we can within our portfolio to improve the situation in Josephine County. We've reached out and tried to capture as much of the economic opportunity as possible by making certain provisions within our commercial and industrial code to allow that to happen. And those provisions, with good restrictions and safety oversight, we've also tried to capture the local revenue opportunities. So we referred to the voters, and it was passed, the capturing of 3% on recreational revenues. And so I think Commissioner Morgan mentioned that since since that has been implemented in the last 5 months, we've generated $9,000 worth of revenue. So when people look at Colorado, when they look at the state getting all of these revenues, that's our portion that we can exercise here locally under Measure 91 and 3400, and we did it. So $9,000, you can do the math for the rest of the year. If that triples, you're at $27,000 for the year. That doesn't do a whole lot, I think, for anybody in any small scale of measure. So it's just, I feel like there's a tremendous amount of pressure that the citizens of Josephine County are looking to their locally elected officials. We're doing it, people. We are hosting the discussions. We are advocating to our legislature for changes in the appropriation distribution of the revenues that they garner, the 10%. They're still paying off OLCC's implementation of the grand bureaucracy to regulate this. However, they're not regulating it in Josephine County hardly at all, is what we are being told. So your balance and authority over the people you elect really needs to be focused on those who make the rules. Those are your state legislators. They're working on your behalf to address this issue. It's the other portions of the state, and they are not necessarily listening to the plight of Southern Oregon and rural Oregon in general. So you share in that struggle with us if you want to make your voice heard. Anyway, I just couldn't fail to mention that. And the other one was to really commend Mr. Kitcher for putting in the good fight on the mining issues. Here's a little factoid trivia for the board. At the inception of the Waldo Mining District, what was the name of the territorial county, county designation for Josephine County, what we were called back then? Josephine County was formed, I believe, January 21st, 1956, before the state was a state formed by the Territorial Congress. Any ideas?
Jackson.
No, was it one of the four original areas? So, Shampooey, mm-hmm. Umpqua, I don't remember the other two.
We were part of Benton County.
Benton, interesting.
Yep. And then formed out of Benton County in 1956. There was a small portion for about a year that we were, this Grants Pass proper was part of Jackson County, but the county as a whole was never actually Jackson County. So a little bit of trivia. I think we should encourage Mr. Kitcher to help us put together a resolution commemorating the 165th anniversary and read it as a resolution maybe in the coming weeks. So, with nothing further, the board is adjourned at 12:13. Thank you all for attending. Thank you.